I never turned that off, but I don't know if that means you got double loud my voice when this was on and that. If it was, I apologize for that. Nobody needs that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Acts 10:38, we're starting a series on healing. And it might not be a series you need now, but it might be a series you need someday. Amen? And to me, healing is such a representation of God's love. The fact that He heals our bodies, praise God. Especially after, you know, what I went through for 2 years. And I still just, when I think about it, I feel bad. I feel like I don't praise Him enough for it. I try, you know, to be conscious of that. But when I think about what He's done for me in the 2 years and the hell that it was and that He healed me. And I mean, the other day, I was at camp meeting after service, I had, it was the first set of meetings that I had been to in 2 years where I wasn't just writhing in pain the whole time and dreading going and being there and stuff. And I don't even like shrimp. But I just wanted to, they were talking about how spicy the horseradish was, and just certain things just triggered things even worse in me and spicy. And I mean, I just dipped that shrimp that I can't stand to eat in that horseradish and just ate it just to basically shove it in the devil's face, you know. And I just love healing, so I'm excited for this series. And we need it. It's this kind of stuff, the truths that were in me that kept me going for the 2 years and believing and knowing this ain't right. But Father, help us today to get started here, to go forth. I'm just so in awe of You when it comes to this topic and this subject, Father. You're so merciful. You are a healer. That's who You are. And Father, we need to get these in us, because when things show up at our doorstep, we have to be ready. We have to be ready to respond right. And you know, Father, I think of the military and the training that they do and special forces. They don't sit around and wait for the test to come to train. They train first to be ready for when the test comes. And so, Father, help us to get these truths in our heart. If we're going through things, help us catapult us to where we need to be, is what I'm trying to say, to into that place of victory, into that place of faith, into that place of receiving mode. And so, speak through me, Father. May my words not be my own. We thank You for boldness and utterance this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know, think about what 2021 really was. It was, or 2020 really was. It was a year where sickness was at the forefront. Sickness dominated the news, and sickness changed the world as we know it. And yet, the whole time, there's a God in heaven saying, "I'm stronger, I'm bigger, I'm more powerful." You know, Paul said this. He said that my speech and my preaching would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. He said, so that people's faith would not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. But I'm here to tell you, the majority of the body of Christ, their faith does not rest in the power of God. I'm not saying you deny what doctors say, and I'm not saying you deny what news reports say, and I'm not saying you deny what doctors' reports say, but people's faith have been more in Dr. Fauci. People's faith have been more in what the news says than the power of God. I'm just telling you, the way people react, the way people have gone about things in 2020, and again, I'm not against natural procedures and precautions. I'm just saying people's major faith has not been in the power of God. It's been in fear, it's been in natural things, and we need to get our attention onto Him. I'll just say this by the Spirit of God. What happens when the next thing shows up? And when the next thing's worse? Now, I'm not saying this hasn't been bad, and especially certain groups of the population it's been really bad for, you know, people, pre-existing conditions, and, you know, the older demographic and things like that. But what happens when there's something even more intense and louder in our ears and louder in our face, and the news even goes more bonkers? We better have our faith in the right thing. God was never moved by coronavirus. Just like he's not moved by the flu, just like he's not moved by arthritis, just like he's not moved by cancer. But people got moved by it. And we need to get our faith in him. In Acts 10:38, this healing series will help us with this, but how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, talking about, I've had conversations with people that won't come to church because of the coronavirus. But they still go to work. And they still go to the grocery store. And they still put their children in daycare. And it's so backwards, the thoughts that the devil has given people, that it's almost like church must be the major breeding ground for this thing. Church must be the hot place for it. Your workplace must not be. And it's just amazing how the devil twists things. Because this is where the power is. Praise God. And here it says that God gave Jesus a power to go about healing people. Why? That's who God is. God is a healer. God wants to heal. God wants you healed. If you're here this morning and you're facing sickness in your body, things that are out of order in your body, the Father wants that fixed for you. He wants that fixed for you. He's not, you might be okay with it, but he's okay with it if you're okay with it. Like, he'll let you be okay with it, but he's not okay with you having to take a pile of medication. He's not. Now, again, we take that in faith and believe to get off it, but my faith shouldn't be in medication either. Hallelujah. And he wants that fixed for you. I don't care how many years you've had it, how many years it's been normal. That doesn't mean that he doesn't want that changed for you. You might have to make adjustments and make tweaks to line up with him, but he's a healer. You're his child. He wants you healed. You're the body of Christ. Sickness limits. Sickness hinders. He doesn't want you hindered. He wants his plan to go forth. And so we're going to be helped with this series. But John chapter 5 and verse 1, I like to start here talking about healing to kind of separate the two different ideas and mentalities when it comes to it. But John chapter 5 and verse 1 says this. It says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withering, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So there's a pool here, a bunch of sick people around it, and there was an angel that would come down at a certain season, trouble the water. It was a gift of the Spirit manifesting. Whoever got in first got healed. So I guess you better be quick. You never knew when it was going to come. Understand this. We think, wow, that's really neat. No, really think about it. You never knew when it was going to come. You had to beat everybody in. If you weren't the first, you had to wait until next season it comes again. No hope of getting better until the angel comes down, and then you better be first. And there was a certain man which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he'd been now in a long time in that case. He said to him, do you want to be made whole? The impotent man said in verse 7, sir, I have no man when the water troubles to put me in the pool. But while I'm on my way down there, another steps down before me. What's he saying? My condition causes me to not be able to be first. So he just stays sick. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And so he received that there, but he only received it because of the goodness of the Lord, and because there was a gift of the Spirit that manifested here. The working of miracles, gifts of healings all worked here. You know, this man didn't do anything really to receive it. In fact, he was just, I can't get healed. I can't get down there in time. Do you want to be made whole? Yeah, but I can't do it. And Jesus healed him. A gift of the Spirit operated. But this is what we have to understand. This is not the norm in Jesus' ministry. And it's not the norm in our lives of how to receive healing. we like these stories because they're exciting and they're neat and it's great to see someone be changed. But part of the reason we like them is because it's nice to get something and not have to do anything for it. To fight. And this guy didn't really have to do anything. He's lucky Jesus got, or that he got Jesus' attention somehow. And, you know, we get excited about that and we want that. But in Jesus' ministry even, in Jesus' ministry, this was not the norm. Most of the time, Jesus attributed the healings to the person doing something. To the person cooperating with what? The force of faith. And I'll say this, in my ministry in the short time, this is not the case as well. I remember I had a Reverend Doug Jones was one of my instructors at Rhema, and I remember him saying that he got so frustrated after healing line after healing line after healing line of seeing people continually walking away sick. Well, he had the mindset that when people were prayed for, see, he was thinking wrong. He had the mindset that when people were prayed for, that there's a problem if the manifestation wasn't instantaneous. But the Bible says in Hebrews 6:12, we receive through faith and patience. Kim Lai, will you go to Hebrews 6 and verse 12? And so he said, I was frustrated, but then I realized just because someone's not instantly healed doesn't mean healing's not on the way or that it hasn't worked. And what I've seen is in line with that, and which is normal because we wouldn't have anything different than Jesus is having results, you know, in the sense that they weren't just instantaneous in his ministry. I've seen very few. We've had some, but I'm talking dramatic, instantaneous changes right on the spot. Few have happened, but very few, you know. And the Bible says here that you be not slothful. Now that jumped out to me as I was reading that, because to be slothful means, what's a sloth, you know? Slow, lethargic, lazy, apathetic, casual towards things. He says, don't be that way. Because that's not the way you receive what God has for you. The end result here is the promises of God. The subject of this verse is getting into the promises of God, which is what we want. Healing is one of those promises. But he says the way that you can walk into that. So now think about this. If you're sick, because I know I was sick, there was nothing casual about how I got out of that. There was nothing just sitting around by the sheep market pool, just waiting for something to hit me with some magic wand or fairy dust. And he says the way to get into the end of the verse, the promises, is you can't be slothful towards these things. You can't be apathetic. You can't be casual. You can't just be lazy with it. And that's why a lot of times we, as humans, like those stories because, oh, just show up and get my blessing. But he says to get into them, there's a faith and patience, an endurance. Remember how Paul said it? He said, I press towards, a press, I reach. That doesn't sound casual. That doesn't sound lazy. That sounds like to get into where you need to be, there's a reaching for it, there's a pressing, there's a patience, there's an endurance. He that endures to the end will be saved. An endurance. You know, when people run endurance races, they don't come through that race with a big old smile on their face looking like they just came out of a massage in the spa. They look like they endured something. Why? Endurance tells you it's a challenge. Why do they look like that? Because it was tough. And there's a pressing and a reaching forth that if you want to get out of your sickness, you have to change your mentality. Can't be slothful towards it. Acts 14:1. And you have to get out of the mindset just waiting for your number to show up. Think about it. That's why gambling is so intriguing. That's what hooked me on gambling. I would rather, instead of working hard and saving my money, I'd rather go pull a lever and hit triple sevens. But that's not the majority of how it happens. You hear about those stories, and that's what gets people to chase those things. And we need to stand up here and be sober and tell people to get your healing. It's a battle. To get into the finances, to get into your victory, whatever it is, if it's not healing, it's not easy at times naturally. It's an endurance, it's a press, it's a reaching forth. And just because it's hard doesn't mean you're wrong, doesn't mean it's not happening. You just have to be sober about it and to tell people to paint the picture that the casino's the way, or, you know, to not, the lottery, right? Why is the lottery so popular? It's easy. You go in and pay a dollar and get a ticket. And hopefully that just changes my whole world, because it's a lot easier than working hard and being smart with my money and budgeting and saving and doing the right thing with the word. Just give me my millions. And that's the mentality that's creeped into the church, and it's just not right. It's rare that people just get the instantaneous blessing. In fact, the gifts of the Spirit are those instantaneous blessings, the working of miracles, the gifts of healing. What's a gift of healing? It means you didn't have to do anything for it. It means you didn't have to use your faith for it. That guy got a gift of healing, a work of miracle. He didn't have to do anything for it. He just was there. But the one with the issue of blood had to do something. Blind Bartimaeus had to do something. The woman that had the daughter that was grievously vexed to the devil, her number just didn't come up in the lottery. She had to reach and she had to press. Praise God. And so we have to get out of that mentality and understand some things, and it comes through faith. But Acts 14:1 says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed." This is talking about Paul and Barnabas, how they went into Iconium and they preached the word, and it says that Jews and Greeks got saved. But there were unbelieving Jews, and they stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren, which means the unbelieving Jews, they're talking stuff and putting things in the Greek's mind or the Gentile's mind to turn them against the apostles. And it says, the King James is so funny the way they put things, and people say to me, "You're always having to change it. Why don't you just get a translation where you don't have to change it when you preach it?" I just can't get away from this. I just can't, but I'll just always explain it to you. "Long time, therefore, abode they boldly speaking to the Lord." Basically says, for a long time, they were there. That's how I would have put it. A long time, they were in that place speaking about the Lord, which gave testimony of his word unto grace and granted signs, wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided. So they're there preaching, and it's divided. Part were with the Jews, and part were with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it. 6. So there was a plan by the Jews and the rulers to stone Paul and Barnabas because they're tired of what they're doing in their city. Paul and Barnabas became aware of it in verse 6. They fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there, notice this, they preached the gospel. And there, where they preached the gospel, sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, Paul, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet," and he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying, "In the speech of Lycaonia, the gods have come down to the likeness and likeness of men." And so here they saw this amazing healing. They see this guy that's been crippled his whole life, never has walked. All of a sudden, he's leaping and praising God. And so now they've turned their mind to think that Paul and Barnabas must be gods here. And so verse 12, "And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius," because he was the chief speaker, talking about gods here, the Greek gods. "Then the priest of Jupiter," which was in the city or before the city, "he brought oxen and garlands under the gates and would have done sacrifice to the people." So they're thinking Paul and Barnabas are gods. Let's bring an animal here. Let's sacrifice to these gods. "Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they tore their clothes and ran in among the people crying out, saying, "Sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions with you." We've heard that word before, talking about Elijah. I love how the Bible makes sure not to exalt the man. Praise God. I always say, if anything good comes from me, it's not because of me. Trust me, I know the man. I know me very well. "We also are men of like passion with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God which made heaven and earth and the sea and the things that are therein." Now, go back with me. This is where we're starting today in this series, to verse 8. And the first thing I want to point out to give you hope here, these two things I want you to see in this situation, and we'll go from here to see how he got this. "There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb who never had walked." We're not talking about a minor healing here. He's been this way forever. I don't believe it ever tells his age anywhere. But we're talking years and years and years and years and years and years of this. Of a dire, dire situation. And we have people in the churches, you've faced things for years and years and years and years and years. Dire situations. And just so you know, if your dire situation is financial, if you apply these same principles, it'll work in your finances too. That's the awesome thing about the Word. Faith weaves through all of it. And the way you receive your money, the way you receive your deliverance, the way you receive this and that, it's the same way. But we're focusing on healing. But notice how dire the situation was, that here this man never had walked, and we have people that have faced things that is impossible, that are told things that look bad. It's been years and years. Well, you fit in just like with this guy. But notice this, the same heard Paul speak. When it says, "who steadfastly behold him," talking about Paul, was looking at this man. Something caught Paul's attention with this man. And Paul perceived something. That the man had faith to be healed. There's other people here that are sick. But Paul catches, the Spirit of God arrests Paul, and Paul becomes fixed on this one man. Why? Faith was standing out to him. And so Paul knew, because remember, how do we receive the promises of God? Because here's the thing. If we could just do a Jesus thing by the pool, if Jesus could just do that anywhere, he would have done it everywhere he went. If we could just do that, we'd all, after church, come up with a plan and disperse to the various hospitals, go in there and raise every sick person off their bed and deliver them from every disease. But we know that's impossible. That's not how it works. And Paul can't just heal the man, or he would, but Paul perceives this man is a candidate for healing because he has faith to be healed. And we know, we've read the end of the story, but my point is this, that how dire it was for what you're facing in your life right now, whether it's sickness, disease, financial, whatever, this is an impossible, incurable thing, that the man's faith fixed. All Paul did was give action to the man's faith, which is what? Stand up. I don't even think it says that Paul touched him. There was no anointing transferred. Why? Your faith can be enough. That should be so wonderful to know. You don't need Pastor Mike to come into some special healing anointing. You don't need Brother Hagen to come back, or Pastor Nancy to show up, or the Durants to be here. You can have faith to be healed. No matter how dire it, I mean, this is dire. We're not talking a headache here. We're not talking a sore back or a sore shoulder. We're talking about he's never walked in his life, and he can have faith to do that. Praise God. That excites me. I don't know about you, but I face big things at times. Now, Mark 9:23 tells you the exact same thing, if you'd believe that. Mark 9:23 says, you know what I love about that verse is he said, perceiving that he had faith. Paul knew it's not enough for just me to have faith. It's not just enough for it to be God's will and his word that he wants you healed. The person, the receiver, has to have faith. Perceiving that he had faith. Well, look what Jesus said. If you can believe. It's the same thing that Paul was saying about the guy. The guy had faith. And Jesus said, if you can have faith. If you can have faith. All things can be possible. It just hinges on whether or not you can believe it. I love that. Look at what your personal faith can accomplish. Look what your own faith can do. You know, we go back to our homes at times and the pressures can seem so loud because you're isolated there, you're alone there, and you can feel so overwhelmed. And we get in a corporate setting, right? And there's a preacher with an anointing stirring you up, and there's fellow believers, and we're praising God, and our faith's at an all-time high. I'm telling you, when you're laying there in the middle of the night, and the pressures are coming, and the thoughts are coming, and the symptoms are there, your faith is enough. Paul gave action to that, so just stand up, and the guy believed it and did it. Matthew 9 and verse 27. Matthew 9, 27. I want to, not only is your faith enough, but the other side of that is, if Paul wouldn't have seen faith in him, Paul just kept preaching. Paul would have said, I know God wants to, I know God can, but this gentleman's going to leave the way he came because he doesn't have what it takes to receive from him. Well, that seems harsh, but look at what the Bible says here in Matthew 9:27. When Jesus departed there, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. On us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes. See, this is one of those cases where Jesus just didn't heal people. Something else had to be there for this transaction. Because why? Gifts of the Spirit, you need to know this, in 1 Corinthians 12, are as the Lord wills. Faith is whenever. Gifts of the Spirit are as the Lord wills. And you say, well, why doesn't the Lord will all the time? I don't know. That's one thing I don't know. I have to ask him. I mean, we already know his will is that you are healed, but the avenue of faith is what pleases him, and that operation of faith and the gifts of the Spirit. You know, Brother Hagin said it this way, that the gifts of the Spirit were never even meant for the church. They were meant for the church to operate in, to bring in the lost. We don't need the gifts of healings and the working miracles. We have faith. Faith pleases him. Honestly, receiving by a gift of the Spirit is really, I hate to say it this way, a lesser sense of what pleases God. Because faith pleases him. I don't want to say it's lesser because if it's of God, it's never less. But faith pleases him. Hallelujah. And look what Jesus said. Then he touched their eyes, verse 29, saying, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Now, you could say it this way, or you could look at it this way. Jesus wanted to heal them, had the ability, the anointing to heal them, but needed their faith. Their faith gave him the permission to do what he and God wanted to do on that day. So I want to ask you this morning, is your faith giving God the opportunity to do what he wants to do? Or is your faith hindering him? I should say lack thereof faith, hindering him, your doubt and unbelief. Because here we see that if they would have hemmed and hawed and said no, because he said the reason you got this is because you believed. Paul said the reason you got this is because you believed. Which would tell you that if you don't get it, it might be because you're not in faith. Matthew 6, or Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. I'm just going to, for time's sake, you know, he went into his own country, verse 1. They heard him preaching and teaching. They were astonished, saying, who is this guy that he has such miracles? And he's just the carpenter. He's just Joseph's son. We know him. We know his brothers and sisters. They were offended at him. Jesus said in verse 4, prophet's not without honor, but his own country. And then we pick it up in verse 5. He could there do no mighty work, except lay his hands upon a few sick folk and heal them. Well, he was hindered from doing all that he wanted to do. And verse 6 tells us why. He marveled because of their unbelief. Just like the guy that was there with Paul, and just like the two blind men, how their faith gave God the permission and the ability to work, their lack of faith handcuffed and hindered God from doing what he wanted to do. So the title of this series is Faith for Healing. And today's part one. Because we see here, we better have faith for healing, or we may not get our healing. It's hard sometimes. I have people reach out to me. I'll just tell you how I do things. You do how things you, how you want to do them. The first thing I do when I'm struggling, going through something, is I check in with headquarters. Am I missing something? Not out of condemnation, not out of, you know, pointing the barrel at myself, or so to speak, to just beat myself up. But there is, you can get in your own way. And the guy, Jesus told the guy, go sin no more. The worst thing won't happen to you. He was getting in his own way. Messing things up, you know. When people reach out to me about issues that they're going through that haven't changed in a long, long time, most people don't come from a humble place. I'll just say how I do it. When I meet with my pastor or talk with him, are you picking anything up? Is there anything you need to correct me on? Is there anything that you see? And a lot of times I'll see people living in disobedience or absolutely being in doubt and unbelief. And they're questioning why their faith's not working. And you want to be like, well, until this stuff's fixed, that's why some of the, I can't remember which minister it was, if it was Lester Summerall or even before him, if people had sin in their life, he wouldn't even minister healing to them. You got to get that fixed out of your life first before talking about Christians now, not unbelievers. Christians, you need to get this. Disobedience will cost you and things like that. And I'm just not so sure a lot of times people really want to know the root of things. Because then you got to fix some things and change things. Hallelujah. But Jesus, in this place, was calling out the reason. Oh, where is it? Go to 1 Corinthians. I just got to follow the Holy Ghost on these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 30. So would you say that the people that left sick that day, and would you say there's a reason they left sick that day? Yeah, Jesus said there was a reason they left sick. Why? They don't believe. He was saying the reason you're sick is because you don't have faith. So there could be the case for us that the reason we have not moved into whatever we need to, it could be a faith problem. Now, you might just be in the patience arena, but it could be a faith problem. Jesus said to the man, go and sin no more. It could be a sin problem, right? It could be disobedience, absolutely. Well, is that biblical? Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. What's he saying? There's causes to these things. And one thing we have to be aware of and understand, and that's why I bring out that man that's laying at Paul's feet, the fact that his faith was able to change that. The blind men's faith were able to change that. But on the other side of that, lack thereof will keep you from your blessing, and it will be a reason that people are weak, sick, and some die. Absolutely. It's the truth. So we better make sure that we're buttoned up in the area of faith. Because Jesus said, according to your faith, basically he was saying to him, if you didn't have faith, I couldn't do this. What is he wanting to do for you, but you're hindering him with doubt and unbelief? That's why we're preaching faith for healing. Well, go to Mark chapter 6 and verse 6 again. Mark chapter 6 and verse 6. What's the answer to that unbelief then? Now, let's first point out what belief and unbelief is. Belief is a full persuasion that what God has said will be your reality even when it's not right now. It's not being moved by what you see. It's not being moved by what you hear. It's not being moved by what you feel. Let me give you an example of this. I am to be an example for you. I've given you plenty of bad examples in my life, so give me a break when I give you some good ones and just let me have my time in the sun, so to speak. There were dark days in those 2 years of despair because of the pain. And that's one of the things sickness does. It messes with your mind. You can't sleep. You can't eat. Your body's worn down. You're just naturally spent, you know. But there was never a time in the 2 years that it ever got over onto me that I started thinking or speaking in line with that this is my new normal. There were despair days because of the pain and how it felt and what that day was like, but it was never from us. Now those thoughts tried to get on me, but there was too much in here for that darkness to overtake that light. See, I was talking one time with somebody. They were concerned that, you know, sometimes you deal with different things, and kids have to go to different scenarios and different situations, and sometimes, you know, different homes have different standards and things, and being concerned that different standards in different homes might get off onto the kids in the wrong way, and as I was hearing that, I was concerned about that, because naturally that's right, but the Spirit of God spoke up and said, no, darkness doesn't overtake light. Light overtakes darkness. And the Spirit ministered to me to tell that person, there's too much light in your children for that darkness to overtake them. Thank God for the light. Hallelujah. Thank God for the light. And so, at the end of the verse here, it tells us the answer of what to do. Praise God. Thankful for the light. And in two years, I knew it wasn't done here, so I was waiting here to get it back to me. But in those 2 years, those thoughts tried to come, but that light that was in me on healing was too much for that darkness of despair to overtake me. And so what I mean is, in those 2 years, I was in full faith for the change and the turnaround. What do I mean? I know what I felt like. I know what the doctor said to me. I know what life every day was like. But that didn't move me to believe that's how it's going to be. No, I was in full faith. That's what faith is. Are you right now in your situation, whether it's sickness or financially, so convinced and persuaded? And how did that manifest? It manifested in me preaching a fake testimony. It manifested in me praising God according to truth of His Word. Thank you, I'm healed by the Word, by the blood, by the stripes. And is that where you're at? Because if you're not, if you're in the thoughts of despair because you are feeling it's never going to change, or the thoughts of it's just never going to be different for me, it's just too hard for me, that's a place of doubt and unbelief. That's a place where, yes, you will be hindered from receiving the power. Because faith is not that way. Faith is convinced. Faith is persuaded. Well, Jesus said in this verse that these people, their lack of faith hindered them from receiving. So what was the answer? The end of verse 6 was the answer. He went round about the villages teaching. Now think about this. What he wanted for them was what he tried to do. He couldn't get it done, so what did he do? I have to go back to the drawing board. Which is what? I got to go back to teaching and preaching these people. Why? Because what we're going to see here in a second, well, first go to Acts 14, and I'll show you exactly what we're going to see. Acts chapter 14. I want you to see what preceded this man's healing. Now, this is what you have to understand. There's different ground. I deal with different ground all the time. Some people come right in, and they're so fertile ground, they take right off in faith, bam. And then some people, little rockier soil. Have to dig that and cultivate that. Well, we don't know how long this guy was here, but the point and the principle remains, something preceded his healing. And Jesus tried to heal them in Mark chapter 6 and couldn't, so he had to go back to the thing that always precedes the healing. And in Acts chapter 14, in verse 7, it says, and there they preached the gospel, the word. In verse 8 says, and there, where they preached the gospel, sat a man at Lystra, imp at his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked, the same heard Paul speak what? The word. And remember in verse 15, when they're all trying to bring sacrifices and worship Paul and Barnabas, Paul, what does he do? In verse 15, he says, wait a second, why are you doing this? We're just men, but we're men that bring the word. And the word changes people. And so what Paul was saying was, it wasn't some great anointing I had. It was the fact that I gave what precedes healing, which is the word, and somebody grabbed a hold of it, faith rose, and things changed. What always precedes the healing? Hearing. Well, how much hearing? Until you get to the persuasion. Some people it doesn't take as long. Other people it does. Maybe money it doesn't take as long. Healing it does. Different things for different people. I told you at the time I ministered to somebody that came to me and said they needed a whole bunch of work done in their mouth and their teeth. And I said, it was terrible, the surgery they have to have and the pain and the money they have to spend. Let's just believe God for healing. Well, that tripped them up. It would have taken a while to get their strongholds and thoughts figured out, but they were more advanced when it came to money. And the Spirit of God said, let's go at a different route. And so I said, well, can you believe for the money then for it to get done? Oh, I can do that. Why? They were more advanced in there. You know, your faith for healing, you might not have faith for finances or vice versa. And I don't know how long this guy had heard Paul or how many sermons he heard, but I know this. The hearing preceded the healing. Jesus said, these people need to hear more. That's what he said. I'm going to go. Some people got something, so some people didn't need it. More of it to receive, to get in that faith category. But the other people, Jesus said, I got to go back around. Keep teaching and preaching this. Well, what do we know about Romans 10:17? Faith cometh, faith cometh, faith cometh, faith cometh, faith cometh. By hearing the word. Matthew 4:23. I'm just going to read a few verses here real quick. Matthew 4:23. So this is going to be titled on live stream, Faith for Healing Part 1, Hear and Be Healed. hear and be healed. No hearing, no healing. It's true. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Notice this, preaching and teaching, and then what followed? And healing. What came first? Preaching and teaching. Why? Because in the majority of Jesus' cases, people needed faith. How do you get faith? There's only one way. There's only one way to get you over into that faith category. You can't pray for it. You can't hope for it. You can't have hands laid on you for it. There's one way. It's here in the Word. Jesus didn't say, oh Lord, Father, they can't receive. I pray you give them faith. Nope, I got to go back to the drawing board and get them. The only way they can get faith is preach the Word. They got to hear more. That's it. Matthew 9:35, same thing. The Bible just reiterates this stuff over and over. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. What is he doing? Professing the Word. What are they doing? Hearing the Word. What's the result? And healing every sickness. The healings followed the preaching. Why? Because the preaching leads to the hearing. The hearing leads to the faith leads to the receiving. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says she didn't get off her rear end and go to where she needed her help until she heard of Jesus. When she heard, she got the knowledge, she got the faith, and then it always precedes the healing unless there's a gift of the Spirit, which we already saw only happens every once in a while. Luke 5:15 says, but so much more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear. Notice, they came together to hear. They made it a purpose to hear. Why? Because they wanted to be healed. And you can't have the one without going through the first. It says they came to hear and be healed of their infirmities. Oh, I want to be healed. I want to be healed. I want to be healed. If you're not doing hearing, you don't want to be that healed. Luke 6:17. I mean, what did I tell you when Pastor Michael told me, nope, no salary for you? I recognized something real quick. I'm not in a place right now to receive $2,000 a month. I don't have faith for that. I'm not anywhere close. So what did I tell you I did? I went and got every financial scripture I knew, every financial message I knew, and I just had a feast and kept feeding and feeding and feeding and feeding. Why? Because like he said, I'm tossing you in. You're going to sink, you're going to swim based on your faith. That man got up off his feet at Paul's feet because of his faith. The woman with the issue of blood got her changed because of her faith. On and on and on. The blind men, according to your faith. But the hearing always precedes it. Luke 6:17, and he came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and out of the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Amen. Notice it doesn't say they just came to be healed. Right. You can't just come to be healed. That's why we're so intrigued with gifts of the Spirit, because the gifts of the Spirit don't require us to make any adjustments, because true hearing will require you to make a lifestyle change. Because true hearing causes there to be time involved. Which means you got to adjust your life to fit in the hearing. It's just the truth. Proverbs 4 and verse 20 tells us, and we'll close on the scripture. Hear and be healed, hear and be healed, hear and be healed. Every day you ought to be hearing the word on healing. Why? Keep your faith going for when it shows up at your door, if it does. Honestly, I know part of the intensity of the test that I went through was with the calling and the things and the next office and things that are up ahead for me and things that have been prophesied. I know that, and to not be an echo. But I'll just say this, not to brag and not to put anything. I shudder at the thought of what would happen if a test like that came to somebody that didn't have what was already put in me. It would have overwhelmed me. It would have scared me. It would have caused me to lose complete hope. That the hearing saved my butt. All the hearing of years of healing and reading healing books and putting healing in me. You know, I can't say that I study healing every day. It's a new I don't want to say resolution or goal for me, to make sure I'm putting faith in me every day, to make sure I'm putting healing verses in me every day. You know, Pastor Nancy has an awesome book called Daily Healing Bread. You ought to get it. Just go on her website and get it. It's 31 days, and you can do one devotional a day on the subject of healing and get your feeding on it. It's awesome. She's the faith lady of all the faith ladies. And I'm endeavoring every day, hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. You can say it this way, hear and stay healed. The Bible says the word's like a medicine, and it's a medicine to you. Proverbs 4 and verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words. Well, what's that mean? Hear his words. What's that? Attendance. Well, if you're going to have good attendance to the word, you're going to have bad attendance to these other things in your life. A lot of people have very good attendance to their jobs and have very good attendance to their recreation. A lot of people have very good attendance to their television. It's true. But he says, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. What's he saying? You have to turn your ear away from other things and turn your ear towards my word if you want the result of what's going to happen here. And then he says, let them not depart from your eyes. So you're going to have to turn everything towards this and away from everything else. What's he talking about getting in the way? Distractions. Distractions get in the way of people living their best life ever. Why? What's verse 22 say if you'll do that? For his words are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So you could say it this way, not just hear and be healed, hear and stay healed. How do I know that's true? Well, remember that story I told with the Durants, that they went back to Rhema. They grew up there, you know, or spiritually grew up there, I should say, and under Brother Hagin. And there was a lady that worked in the publication department, the tape and book department, and they knew her and were friendly with her, and they went back and visited her. And she's older now, getting ready to retire, and she's talking with them, and she says, you know, Kevin and Annie, I have to tell you, Rhema really wasted their insurance. You know, I didn't ever have to use insurance. I never used my insurance policy one time. I never had to go to the doctor. And then we're talking decades. Of course, Kevin and Annie's jaw hit the floor because that's not common. I said, confused. She said, it's easy. I can tell you what it is. Of course, she went to this verse, but she said, for a full-time job every single day, which is what, 8 to 10 hours a day, she says, all I do is hear Brother Hagin's teachings, look at the word on print and put it in the book. She says, literally, the word is around me all the time. And the Bible says it's health to your flesh. So not just here to be healed, here to stay healed. Amen. Now again, don't get in it, because you can get in a ditch and the devil will tell you, well, I could never experience that because I can't hear the word 8 hours a day. Maybe not, but you can make adjustments. You could play the word in your vehicle. That would add time hearing the word. You could maybe, instead of watch that hour television show, turn on an hour message of healing or listen to your pastor preach it on healing. It's not about stopping your whole life and only doing that. It's about making adjustments and ever before putting it before you. Just an adjustment, right? Well, it's worth it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. We know what to do. We know what to do. Hear and be healed. Hear and stay healed. Father, some of us need to get out of these sicknesses. Well, the hearing precedes it to get us into faith. But Lord, there's things that are going to try to get on our bodies. Devil's going to try to do things. And I just prefer not to experience those things. Just to live a life of healing. And we can't live a life of healing apart from the hearing. Hearing has to be consistent for healing to be evident, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. Now, I know we're all born again in here, but if you're watching online and you're not saved, Jesus said, if you believe on me, you'd not perish but have everlasting life. So if you're here this morning, or you're watching online, I should say, and you've never received Jesus, you're not sure you'd go to heaven, let me tell you, it's a free gift. It's not about going to church. I don't care how much you've gone to church. I don't care how much you haven't gone to church. I don't care how good you've been or how bad you've been. It's about what you do with Jesus. And the Bible says you must believe and receive him. So if you're watching this and you want to receive Jesus, it's simple. Romans 10 and verse 9 is the outline of how to get saved. It lays it out right there for you. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to worry about what preachers and ministers and churches and family members have said or what the news says. The Bible tells you exactly in Romans 10, 9, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. And so when this message is over, get in a quiet place and cry out to him and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. I take you as my Lord and Savior. If you'll mean that and cry out to him, he'll do his part. He'll save you. He'll bless you, he'll forgive you, he'll become a father unto you. And your eternity is set now in heaven. But I encourage you to send me an email, to give me a phone call, because there's more for you than just heaven. God has more for you in Jesus' name. And he loves you. Let me know. Praise God. Father, we just love you this morning. We love you so much this morning. Now, you can go ahead and turn